GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hilbrick Tyler Show. On the campaign trail in Maine, Republican for Governor Ben Midgley, a chance to catch up with us, George, for some Q&A on GHRT. He is on line three for our humble radio program.
Well, Mr. Midgley, welcome back in.
Good morning. Thanks very much for having me back.
We promised not to set off the Gronk alarm during our conversation.
Thank you. Too early for that.
If you know, you know. Actually, we should explain for those that don't know. You were integral in the establishment and the success of Planet Fitness. We should reestablish that if we're going to make a joke about the Gronk alarm.
Well, it's up to people who make too much noise.
If you make too much noise, the Gronk alarm goes off. They come over. Do you get one warning, by the way? Do you get one warning and then you're escorted?
In most cases, yeah. I didn't create that because I'm actually more of a heavy lifter guy myself. But yeah, in most cases, you get a warning and then they come over and give you a hard time, ask you to quiet down a bit.
Maybe you should make that as a part of your campaign.
I hate that.
When other
quiet down a bit.
I'm going to vote for Ben.
Well, yeah,
I hate that.
No, the idea is that the other politicians who are shouting and screaming and using words that are inflammatory, they're setting off the Gronk alarm. We need to set those people. Show them the door. Anyway,
that would be great. There's a bit of that going on. It's not too bad, but it is politics, so there's a little bit of that.
What else has caught your eye of late?
What was great in the last few weeks, and this is heavy caucus season, so we're all over the state. In some cases, you have 6, 8, 10 caucuses on any given weekend. There's been a few straw polls lately in different parts of the state, and I haven't been through straw polls before. I'm from outside of politics, so we didn't know these were happening. If folks don't know what straw polls are, those are essentially people who go to the caucus end up voting on who they think is best prepared to do the job. And the candidates get up, you give your presentation, and then everybody votes. And I say this without any disrespect to any of my fellow candidates, who I enjoy seeing very much on the trail. We won both of those polls by solid margins, so very thankful for that support, and shows our message of focusing on the economy, cost of living, opportunity, defending the police, not defunding them, and getting the schools back on track is working. And also, in my strong opinion, the state needs a seasoned and experienced CEO to get us out of this mess. And people, once they hear our background, they know I'm prepared and ready to do this job yesterday. So happy so far.
I was looking at the list today of people who want to be governor, and I don't disparage any. Everybody that's interested, I guess, wants to be governor, unless they've lost their mind. Leadership works, but we often hear bullet points and don't get a plan. Would you say, Ben, that you've got a plan? There are a lot of problems for Maine. We've talked a lot today about the cost of energy. Do you have a plan?
What we focus on and where I think we're really breaking through with people is getting into the GOP meetings all around the state and one-on-one, essentially talking to the entire group, whether you're in a county or a town. And what we've focused on is not being the candidate who just says, I'm mad, aren't you mad? Or, this is a problem, we need to fix it. I have a binder that I use all the time. I've done months and months of research, not just on my own or with my team, but with state legislatures and other experts in all aspects of the challenges facing the state. And we've got about 25 issues that we have definitive plans on for both. We haven't released the entire plan at this time, but when we're in private talking to people, all we do is give a five-minute overview and then take questions and walk people through how we're going to get from point A to point B on all these issues.
Might want to hold on to that binder. Someone might try to take it and possibly photocopy it.
We keep it close.
I wonder, what is the number one priority that you get from listening to constituents at events like the straw poll?
People are concerned and obviously, borderline upset on a lot of issues. I think the biggest issue I hear all around the state, and I've put just over 50,000 miles on my truck in the last 5.5 months, so there's no way to get anywhere in Maine quickly and easily. And you've got to be out in front of people, but it's clearly the state of the economy, cost of living, obviously, electricity. I listened to your segment earlier, which was great, and housing costs, insurance costs, opportunity for people in the state. But the way the state's going right now, taking two what, 200 years to get to $7 billion in spending, and then only six more years to get to what's going to be $12 billion, especially when they're done with the supplemental. It's too much, and we don't have enough taxpayers and to cover that. And, you know, businesses are leaving the state faster than they're coming, and there's no incentive to bring them back. So there's a number of things that have to be turned around. You've got to get tax cuts in place for people. We're one of the highest tax states with one of the lowest incomes in the country. You've got to get spending under control, and we have detailed plans on that. And when you do get those tax cuts in place, the state is going to make more money. That's historically factual. When we did the tax cuts in 2011 and 2015, that happened. And then you get a handle on the bad policies around electricity and housing and, you know, healthcare. Costs are going through the roof, and get behind businesses, small, medium, and large. And I spent a lot of time, too, talked to over 52 different industries in the state, and it's also a shame how we support our legacy issues, whether it's lobstering or fishing and agriculture or forestry. If Maine's going to do anything right, you have to get behind our legacy industries. But those are the primary issues, and then, obviously, you know, folks are still concerned about the drug crisis in the state. We're not managing that well. And the schools are probably, honestly, a close second.
You know, Ben, we often hear the bromide, and you're not a career politician. You've been a businessman for more than 30 years and successful in the fitness industry. You started cleaning machines, and you worked your way all the way up to the top. But we hear this bromide frequently. We want somebody that operates government like a business. Government is not a business. It's much different, isn't it?
Very much. Yeah. I mean, I think one thing that a lot of business people don't understand when they get into government is that it isn't, like you said, just, you know, profit and loss, right? There's a person on the end of every dollar you take, and there's a person on the end of every dollar you spend in the state. So when you get into office, you can't just say, look, here's a number that's 50% over budget. We're going to slash that to 25%. You've got to go through and look at the efficiency and effectiveness of every program to make sure that when you are getting our spending back in line, you're not harming people along the way. Because in the long term, that is not going to help Republicans get back into a position where the state trusts them. And what I want to see is not just 4 years or 8 years, but I want to see Republicans taking the position in the state that people know we're looking out for the best interests of them and their families, and then establish a long-term trust so Republicans can stay essentially in the driver's seat, getting the state back on track for a long time.
Looking at some of the text messages coming in our conversation with Republican for Governor Ben Midgley on the PDQ Door telephone line, this person writes to us. In fact, a couple of people have written and they ask a question that orbits this. Okay, he's instrumental in Planet Fitness. He knows locker rooms. Where is he on transgender athletes and girls' locker rooms?
Obviously, that is completely inappropriate. And I 100% support girls. You know, it's not just a safety issue or a fairness issue. You know, it's the intent of Title IX, so, you know, I'm 100% supportive of girls.
We talked a lot about immigrants. We talked a lot about ICE. We've talked, and we'll continue to do that. It's not going away overnight. What is your position on supporting law enforcement and prevention, mental health? You mentioned addiction. How do we make our community safe?
Yeah, I think, obviously, 1971 was a disaster. I think that never should have gone into effect. The whole sanctuary city policy in the state is terrible. I have not supported that. I do think our law enforcement should be cooperating with federal authorities regularly. In terms of, I'll just tackle the drug issue first. We still have a terrible track record. Maine is still in the top 10 of drug overdoses nationally and drug deaths, and that should not be happening for a state. When I grew up in Maine, and, you know, my whole family grew up here, it was not even on your mind that that's an issue. So for a small state to allow that many drugs to come into our state and harm our, you know, our individuals and our kids, it's unheard of. I've said before on your show that Sonia and I lost our nephew to a drug overdose, and you just don't want to see that happen to anyone in the state. And back in 2019, Mills essentially gave a stand down on proactive you know, drug policing. And then we've got all these very lax standards. We've got judges that are letting people in and out of jail. You've got people working very hard in law enforcement, our men and women, doing their job, getting people behind bars that they should. And then with bail violations at the rate they are, I think it's the largest violation in the state. They're right back out on the street next day, and they're going to go cause harm to somebody else. So we have to close that, and that's simply getting behind law enforcement. That's why we talk about defending law enforcement, not defunding it. And mental health, we are severely lacking in support for that. We only have two mental health hospitals in the state. It's been underfunded in the budget for years, and if you're going to get people back on track, you have to have the resources to get them the help they need. The police can't just keep catching folks, bringing them to the emergency room, who doesn't have the ability or don't have the ability to service these people right now because they're already overloaded because of the main care volume, and then they keep them for a few hours and get them back out on the street. So it's a bad circle we're in, but you know, all these things can be fixed with balanced, common-sense policies. And, you know, Mainers deserve it. It has to be done.
That ding in the background was not the Gronk alarm going off. I want listeners to
know.
Sure,
I'm not sure what that was. Too many devices.
Doesn't sound anything like it whatsoever. A listener asks, and we talked this morning about the four dam deal. This may be two. I do not know if this is in the binder. The Nature Conservancy and then getting some sort of deal, we're told, brokered by the governor to take those four dams out on the Kennebec, and how it's just going to drive Sappy right dark. I don't know if you're hearing about that from anyone, Ben.
Well, quite a bit. I mean, I think the thing you have to do, obviously, if any Republican becomes governor, it's not just me, obviously, if they don't close the deal before the next governor takes over, that deal has to be stopped immediately. It's 100% ideologically based. It has no basis in logic or principled decision making in any way, shape, or form. And to think that the governor could get behind brokering a deal that could have that much of a negative impact on that many people in our state, and again, one of our legacy industries, you can't put words to it, to be honest. So what I understand is they're trying to hustle to close the deal before the next governor comes in. So should that happen, then the next governor is going to have to take whatever step they can to unwind that, because you cannot allow that to continue.
Ben, but final question. You once were in a different party. You switched to in about a minute. What caused that switch?
Yeah, that was, well, when I was 18, my mother brought me into the town offices and said, sign this, you're a Democrat. And, you know, at the time, I was like, sure, I really don't know what I'm doing at that point. And I switched over to being a Republican in 2015 because, you know, as you get older and you start paying taxes and you start paying attention, you see what's going on. And then I was really disenchanted back in the Obama administration when I saw all these jobs going overseas. And I couldn't understand why that was happening, the coziness with Iran. You know, the things that were starting to happen in the schools, and none of it made sense to me. So that's when I switched over, and obviously have been all in ever since. And the goal now is to get government out of people's lives, do the job that you're supposed to, which is just helping people make their lives easier. And I think we can get back to it. I think now is the time that there's enough frustrated people in Maine, and especially in the unenrolled category, because a Republican can't win unless you get the unenrolled over to our side. So I think we've got a great opportunity, because there's a lot of frustration across the state, to bring independents in and then get ourselves across the finish line.
Ben, final moments here. Is your mom still with us?
My mom is, yeah.
My mom switched to become
a Republican.
Okay. I was going to say, my hunch is, you in the primary, my hunch is she's probably going to be voting Republican in November. GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com.